On the fourth episode of Get Fresh with Your Feline Week, we're speaking with professional pet food formulator Emma Rutherford about how to make your cat's fresh food at home. Not only does she provide balanced recipes for us, but she's also going to give us tips and tricks on how to improve the food we currently feed our cats for free using items you already have in your fridge. Sit back and enjoy. I'm Jay.
I'm Adrian.
And together we are the Two Crazy Cat Ladies. I'm going to cut you.
I think I just peed.
Buckle up.
We're back in the closet.
Welcome to the fourth episode of Get Fresh with Your Feline Week, where we today will be talking about one of the most valuable things to the majority of you cat parents, and that is how to feed your cats fresh at home.
Yes, and joining us today is to explore all these different ways that we have to feed our cats fresh is an international pioneer of the Feed Fresh movement, master formulator of whole food recipes, and a dietary consultant to pet food companies literally all over the globe, Emma Rutherford. Emma!
Thank you so much for joining us today.
I am so excited to be here and to be speaking about cats, the love of my lives. I mean, I've grown up so many cats and yeah, I'm just excited to be here and to be able to talk about kitty cats.
I see that you're wearing a kitty cat shirt. I love it. Oh, that's perfect. Okay. So let's dive right in, because this is, I really truly believe that this is a very, very important episode, because this week we have taken everybody through the whys and the fears and the options that we have to purchase a fresh food for our kitties. And so many people are on the edge already. They are like, I want to do this. But us cat people, we are like, cats are like potato chips. Once you pop, you can't stop. And we end up having a lot, multiple cats in our home. Yeah. And getting the budget right is really hard for us cat parents. We want to feed fresh, but we can't afford it when you have multiple cats. So I'm so glad that you are here, because you have taught us over the years as a mentor on how we can go about feeding our cats on a budget at home using, as you say, it's cheapest chips.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't have to be super, super expensive. One of the things I like to start everybody off with is to, so you're cooking your meal. Hopefully you're cooking a meal, you know, a couple of times a week for yourself, your family. And on the edge of the plate, someone's left a little bit of broccoli. Someone's left a little bit of veg. Now, if it's got lots of spice on and you're worried about that, rinse it off under the tap and just pop it in an ice cube tray, just as it is. And do that every day and get yourself, you know, 12, 14, 10, whatever, little ice cubes of something, even if there's a tiny bit of meat in there, whatever you can do, as long as it's safe and you avoid onions, sweet corn and peas are sort of one of the things I like to say to avoid. Pop them in ice cube trays, pop them out into a bag or whatever you've got, and pick one out every day. Let it defrost in the morning, if you can remember. Pop that in their bowl. See what they make of it. Have a go. You're not wasting anything. Your cat's getting a chance to actually try something new, and it's getting an experience. So that isn't going to cost you anything extra. So that would be something I think is really important to do.
What a great tip. But literally, if it's just, and we do this oftentimes, if we're making like chicken or beef or something like that, we'll take a little bit, and because we just feel bad not giving it to our cats, we'll take a little bit.
I love that. I think it's great. I mean, avoid things like rice and pasta and those things, but let them experience, you know, a little bit of meat, a little bit of veg. There's always someone who's left something, or you've cooked too much, just a bit over, and see what they make of it. And don't be too disheartened if they don't eat it. I think that's something really important to think about. If they turn their nose up and go, ooh, I'm going to eat everything else, but not that. It's a piece of broccoli. I mean, cats don't eat broccoli. Why would I eat broccoli? But some cats will. And we're giving them a little bit of extra, you know, excitement in their lives of seeing what the hell it is in the bowl. Four or five times later, they may eat it. And then you can progress on to maybe, you know, preparing something especially for them. But that is just simple and easy in my book, and cheap as chips.
You know, and I just got an idea as well, because we used to do this. We haven't done it in a while, but we always keep eggs in our fridge, and we always keep the date on it. And when we would see that, like, the date's coming up, but we have no like need to eat the eggs, we would either scramble them or boil them. We've fried them raw, but our cats just don't like the raw eggs. But if your cats like them raw, then that's even better. But we would just, you know, scramble it up. Sometimes we'd use coconut oil, but usually we wouldn't use anything. We would literally just scramble them.
Yeah, just dry fry them are fine. Yeah, there's enough moisture in there to just fry them in a pan. To sort of scramble them. And also, as an overweight cat, just use the egg whites and use the yolks for someone else or something else. So, you know, that's always an idea. I put a few cumin seeds in mine because it can help, you know, making it taste a bit more exciting than just a flappy bit of egg white. Sometimes it's not appealing to a cat that way, but yeah, you can mix them together, or a couple of yolks and one white is also a good way if you've got an overweight cat or one that needs feeding up, a few extra yolks. One of the problems with pet food for me, with commercial pet food, is looking at the bioavailability of things like choline. And choline is just great for the liver, and it's great for cognitive health. And, you know, as we've got aging cats, we need to make sure. So an egg, you know, a couple of times a week is just perfect. And even if they're going, you know, like you say, a bit close to sale date, doesn't matter, pop them in, cook them. You can even freeze them and just, you know, use them as little snacks and treats, even, you know, slightly, you know, defrosted and things like that in the summer months when it's very hot. It's a great idea. And choline has actually been, there's some studies about choline at the moment and cats, where they've actually looked at satiety, you know, sort of an overweight cat can actually stop them eating so much. So if they're getting plenty of choline. So a lot of times we see cats that are hungry for no reason and winding around everybody, which could be a behavioral issue, but also sometimes just making sure they've got enough choline in the diet has actually worked wonders. So eggs are a great tip.
We're going to have to get that study and post it here in the comments.
Yeah.
Real quick question though, about the veg, as you said. You know, I think that's one of the easiest things that people can do. Ideally, they have some vegetables in their diet, but cats are obligate carnivores. They're not going to touch A, B, or C. What do you think about, or we have cats that eat broccoli,
that
kale, what about, you know, if we are kind of collecting those things and saving them to try putting some fresh in the bowl, I've heard people will like puree them. Like defrost a couple of them and then just whip them into it, like put them in the blender and then add them into some wet food or something like that. Is that still?
You can do that. But we've got to remember that cats like to go out and scavenge and do all sorts of things and eat things we probably wouldn't want to know about. So I'm really into the whole eating experience idea of giving a cat. I think it's better than sort of functional, what would you call it, enrichment. So sometimes you can give a cat a functional enrichment toy or a food and all the rest of it. But if you're giving them an eating experience, you're covering all bases, because we're not saying our cats are wild. We're not saying they're out in the wild. They're in our home. They're living really quite small lives a lot of times. We do as much as we can. And then we give them mush. Now, cats, last time I looked, have got super, super sharp teeth. And even if your cat's lost lots of teeth, their gums really harden after they've had teeth taken out. And they can actually, you know, do really well. So mushing it up, if it's raw veg and you want to, you know, mush it up and make it in, you know, because of the cell wall and all the rest of it, that's fine if you want to break it down. But my preference is either steaming it and adding, especially a newbie cat, a little bit of goat's butter, if you can get hold of it, or butter just to the veggies, steam it, make it already, you know, broken down a bit, but in its whole form. Let them have a look at it, because your cat may prefer it, you know, piece of cauliflower, for example, sliced or mushed, slightly mushed, or a little bit harder than normal, or all sorts of things. You've got to find, your job is to find your cat's preference. Now, if you've got 12 cats, that's not so easy. However, you are still giving them an experience. So I just feel mushing it all up doesn't really offer anything very exciting.
I love that.
Me too.
Because I do think that so often, and this is also something that we're going to be covering, that, you know, people will say, my cat's not going to eat anything. My cat won't try anything new. They're only going to eat kibble. And I feel like we have seen for ourselves just how much our cats do enjoy novelty, especially in their food with different textures even. And it's not all the time, right? Like, but in giving them that enrichment opportunity to explore something.
And
new.
If we're doing it this way, guys, we're not spending any money doing it, right? Yeah. So we're giving them enrichment and by literally just taking a small piece of what we already have in our fridge and offering them something that's going to be super beneficial. Now, I do know that the studies, and I believe the studies were around dogs, but I'm not quite sure. You probably know. I think the study was done in the UK that showed that feeding literally just replacing 20% of any type of processed food, be it kibble, be it canned, whatever it is, with fresh food can reduce disease markers by up to 90%. That's 90%.
Yeah, I first wrote the study at Purdue University with Dr. Jean Dodds actually many years ago, and we talked about it. Yeah, and there was 92% from urinary tract cancers and those sorts of things it can really help with. So it was if that's a study you mean, with the green and yellow veggies, I think it was up to 2 or 3 times a week. So it sounds a bit daunting. What green and yellow veggies would my cat even try? But you'd be really surprised if a bit of steamed pepper, yellow pepper, my cats loved. And I always found it really odd that they liked it, and I was like, that's really strange, but they would go for it. So it wasn't like I was starving them. They had the choice not to eat it, but they did. So, you know, excuse me, little things like that, or a, you know, a little bit of, you know, yellow skin on a tomato if you get a fancy one in the summer. Whatever, you know, just try it and see what you can get. And, you know, don't be too worried about incorporating this, but it is an important step in feeding your cats if you can incorporate these kind of veggies.
These options that we're talking about right now, these are basically free. This is talking about using just what's left over of our food and just kind of enriching our cat's diet with fresh foods. What about meats? What if it's like something, you know, so often when you think about fresh food for cats, pre-made stuff, it's like, that's the stop sign. I can't give them meat. It's just too expensive. Mm-hmm. What things can we do to add meat in that are on the budget to see how our cats would do with actual?
Yeah, well, I think what you've got to do from the very beginning, if you want to try this and you're sincere about doing it and you really want to have a go and see what your cat enjoys and doesn't, and you are on a budget and you just got to use what you've got in the house, think about, you know, if you've cut some ground beef, for example, if it was going to be fed raw, if you want to try it raw, then I suggest taking a little bit of the ground beef, putting it in the freezer for a week and then defrosting it and using it. Because pet food, raw pet food manufacturers have to go through stringent, you know, rules and things as to how they can produce meat. So supermarkets are selling meat to be cooked. So it's just a small tip. It's a little bit more of a faff, but it's okay. It's fine. But if you want to feed some ground beef and you've cooked a little bit without onions, of course, a little bit of garlic's fine. Actually, my Bengal cats used to eat a little bit of chili as well, but, you know, not all cats are going to. You'll probably be horrified. But, you know, and just put, you know, take a teaspoon of kibble out and add a teaspoon of the meat in and just see what happens. And I have a sneaking suspicion that you're going to see that your cat's going to go, that smells all right. I might try that. Even if they lick it a bit, that's a win. To me, that's a big win, because we all know cats are suspicious. They're thinking, is she trying to poison me? What's she doing to me? We know it, you know, so try that and forget about percentages. Don't beat yourself up on this. But what we don't want you to do is overfeed your cat, especially if you've got a cat that's packing on the pounds a bit. You know, our cats, once they've been, you know, spayed or neutered, often pack on the pounds a little bit around the middle, as do us humans. And, you know, we don't want to contribute to this. So as you get further on, as you've, you know, added some little scraps and bits, and you're serious about it. So I want you to forget about percentages, throw that out of your mind, and just get a teaspoon at the beginning when you're just trying. But when you're serious about it, get a tablespoon. And you get a tablespoon and you take out, say, 2 spoons of kibble, but you put 1 spoon of fresh food. So this can be meat and vegetables, mixed cooked vegetables that you've prepared and or that are leftovers. You can pop them in. And the reason you put less in, and think about this, you're saving money because the scraps you've already had, you're taking 2 spoons of kibble out because the fresh food that you're adding is more nutrient dense. So you don't need to think about the percentage thing. And you know, obviously you just apply this as you go along until you get to half a bowl of, oh, wow, they're eating half scraps, half this. So, you know, after that, we want it to become more balanced and we want to think about what we're feeding, because after that, it's you know, we don't want to go for the spray and pray effect where you're just, you know, feeding a bit of everything and going crazy. You saw on a Facebook group and somebody said, put spirulina in, put, you know, put a gizzard in. And, you know, there's no rhyme or reason a lot of times to putting all these different things in, and makes it overcomplicated and don't really need to do all that. We can simplify it.
One of the things I feel is so valuable about you and your many years of experience formulating and just understanding just how important fresh is and how we can incorporate it in these simple ways. I think that's exactly it, is that people think, I can't afford to buy anything and I can't afford the risk of making something myself. Yes. You know, talking about percentages and all the information that's out there, many, many different groups that are like, this is the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that it was that I had the same issue. So I spent almost a year studying online, reading everything that I could, reading books, trying to figure out how can I at home, because we were on a really tight budget, how can I at home switch our cats to, I wanted to go full raw. And it was like, how can we do this at home on a budget without breaking our bank?
Yeah.
And it was so complicated. And there were so many questions that I was like, I was at the point of our community, right? So we reached out and we asked all of our community, what is the biggest fear that you have around feeding cats raw meat was the question. But they got it, making your own diet, feeding a raw diet. And within an hour, we had hundreds of comments. And they said one of the main things were that one of the main fears were, I'm afraid of getting it wrong. And that was my fear.
Of course.
I was thinking that if I get it wrong, and I love the way that you just explained that about the tablespoon, because I was thinking if I get it wrong in one meal, it's not complete imbalance, then I'm going to kill my cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I totally understand that fear. I really do understand it, because I've seen it come up time and time again. And that's what I want to do here. I want to tell you that it's not that complicated. There are rules to follow. We must follow the rules. I will help you with those rules. And I know that you two are up to date and know the rules. And that's why it's so brilliant. But let's not overcomplicate it. Let's you know, the other ingredient that we put into food is the, you know, love and our serotonin. And we, you know, and we're feeling all lovely and windy because we're feeding our cats. If you've got no time and you just need to plonk something out, that's fine. That's fine. We have busy lives. Do not beat yourself up about it. However, when you get those scraps, pop it in the ice tray or in a whatever. If you haven't got an ice tray, it can just be any old square thing that can go in the freezer and plonk bits in and pick them off when they're frozen. You don't have to use an ice cube tray. It doesn't have to be in the shape of a prawn or a bone or anything like that. I couldn't care less. Just get it in there and put it in the bowl and see what they think of it, and try different things. And also, it's really interesting because when you look back at your scraps over 12 days or 14 days, it's quite interesting because you think, ooh, well, that's not going down very well in the family. We've got a lot of celeriac, or we've got a lot of, you know, ground beef. And it's quite interesting for you. So it's a double thing, because you can actually look at it and go, perhaps I'm making a bit too much of that. Actually, if I cook less, I'd save a bit more money and I could prepare something more for the cat. So there are different ways of, you know, psychologically looking at these things, you know, if you want to go that deep.
Well, okay, so let's dive into a little bit more of the serious DIY, actually. Recipes. I know we were talking with Dr. Judy Morgan about the budget. I think one of the most important things, just a reminder, is for us to know what our budget is. You know, when we first thought about doing this, it was like, oh my God, just sticker shock, right? As far as like a plan made. And then we did, with your help, understanding how much money we could save if we made a batch of balanced raw diet.
Following a recipe that was already balanced.
And added that to their, so I think it's really important for us to first evaluate, what do we already spend on what our cats eat? What is that budget? And then, like you said, it's like adding in a tablespoon, taking away this. We can do the same thing with our budget as we go down this path, but it's really important to know what it is. Don't just have sticker shock over it. Look at what you're already spending.
Look at what you're spending. Look at also, it's even down to, you know, if you take a car to go and get it, are you spending money on petrol? Are you getting paying extra delivery charges and all sorts of things? Put everything together, not just the food. Look at it. And also the other thing that's really important is time, because people are time poor. And, you know, if it's going to take you 4 hours once a month to prepare 3 or 4 weeks worth of food, is it worth it to me?
Right.
Is it? And if you don't know, then it's time to sit down and think about, perhaps you're scrolling too much on, you know, on Instagram or whatever. Are you, you know, I don't know, are you just wasting time and things? Would you get more pleasure out of it? And would it be better for your, you know, your mental health and your daily living if you felt you were offering your cat a better form of food? And I think that's really important. Be honest with yourself. Can I really afford 4 hours out of my week, life, month, year to do this? Some people say no.
I love this. I think you gave me the chill bumps.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. And I remember when we were doing this and we had switched over to a raw diet, and it is, budgets are very tight. We realized that we saved 2/3.
Yeah. Thank you. You do.
And
same amount of food, right? Making it ourselves with about
30. that was versus buying it. That was versus buying it raw, right? So we were comparing into that.
Yes.
The cool thing that we talked to Dr. Judy Morgan about too is that when it comes to a processed food versus a fresh food, the fresh goes, we don't need to feed as much of the fresh because it doesn't have all of the extra, basically, crap that the body doesn't need in the body process.
Yes.
More bioavailable.
Yeah, that's right. Those things. Yeah. I think also as well, it's, you know, one of my tips is if you get two recipes, I think you've got two recipes from me definitely somewhere, haven't you?
Yes. So
if you take those two recipes and you look at all the ingredients, and you say, right, actually, she said this much, this much, this much. Let me have a look at it. Double it up, work out, go to the supermarket, if that's where you shop or wherever you go, and work out the day they mark the food down. I am queen of this in my life. And I know all the supermarkets, all different makes of supermarkets where I live, what day they mark down the meats and things. So I go on that day and I think, oh, I think I might get that. Or obviously after that, you can go, you know, join a co-op or you can buy from a raw food supplier, whatever. But if you're just dipping your toe in, it's all too much, just pop to the supermarket, see the day there and freeze the meat that you got or the expensive item, see when something's on sale. Eventually, don't rush it. Over 6 months, get all the stuff together. But if you think, if there's 20 ingredients for two recipes, you can feed any combination. Some of it would be a bit weird, but any combination of those ingredients over 2 weeks or a month, and that will give you balance. Now, if your cat despises liver, doesn't like raw liver, doesn't like it cooked, doesn't like it, then get the liver, chop it up, put it with the egg and make a little frittata. Chop it up and feed it as a treat. I'm telling you that cat will eat it. I'm telling you. Spray it with butter. Get some butter and some hot water. Spray it. It will eat it. Get a wooden board. Don't go buying fancy bowls. Forget about it. Just put a wooden board down. You can wash it with lemon and salt. It will be clean. Nothing has to be fancy and you don't have to feel like you're a failure because you're not doing all the fancy stuff. Just start. You can do it.
Reiterate what you just said, though, about gathering these ingredients and feeding your cat all these ingredients, whatever weird combination.
Mm-hmm. I've never thought of that.
Over the course of 2 weeks and we have a balanced diet. Speak a little bit more about what that fear, balancing, right?
Yeah.
you need this. When you start going down that rabbit hole, there's so many different opinions about what balances the diet, especially for cats, a little more complicated than for dogs.
They are. Just, yeah.
So every meal doesn't have to be balanced is what you're saying. It needs to be balanced over time,
but we can't use that, like I say, the spray and pray. We can't just go, they've had some spirulina this week and they had a kidney last week. You can't do that over a long period of time. The best thing to do to take any fear out of it is to follow two recipes or three recipes, whatever you can get. One recipe is fine. If it says it's balanced, mine can meet AFCO and FEDIAF, and my tagline is FEDIAF and beyond. So FEDIAF is European. It's what Dr. Karen Becker, oh, just lost my earphone. Dr. Karen Becker will use for formulating as well. So it's what we do. It's the highest standard. And then we go beyond that. So we're looking at the taurine separately. If I formulate, I formulate worldwide for brands. And what I will do is every ingredient that goes in isn't from USDA data. And that's what, you know, animal diet formulator, there's things like this where you can, you know, punch in the numbers and work out what's in the food. But when I work with a brand, and I have an extensive library over the years of actual real analysis. So when I create a recipe, and the recipes anyone else gets that's on the internet, you can't just get my recipe and punch it in and go, hers doesn't meet the rules of FEDIAF or AFCO, because mine have gone beyond it. I've gone way beyond that. This is not what you're going to be doing. You want to just add a few spoons of food in and learn how to create a fresh food diet. So let's bring it back. We just look at it. We go, right, here's all the ingredients. I've got two choices. My cat doesn't like it if I mix in egg or liver or da, 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 da. So then you take all the ingredients, you look at the list, you think, I'm going to make a big batch and it's going to last my cat 6 weeks. And sorry, I've got a little dog scratching here. I just wondered what she was doing. So this food is going to last 6 weeks and I'm going to get a big batch and I'm going to make cookies for them. So I'm going to stick them in my oven and dry out the liver and the egg, and I'm going to feed that. Now, don't panic about killing all the nutrients, because I eat cooked food and I am not dead yet. So there is a little bit of nutrient loss, but there is also a little bit of nutrient loss when we freeze food. So especially vitamin C is known to be lost when we freeze food. So there are swings and roundabouts. We're not overcooking things. You just lightly cook the liver, stick it in the oven on really, really low for a little bit of time and make like a little cookie and crumble it on their food. You can start off by just crumbling it on their kibble and do it that way. I'll get the ingredients separated. There are things in there that might not be great fed on their own, but if the egg component doesn't work for the cat, then you just feed that separately, like we've already suggested. And one of my favorite things is to get, I've got a really big sort of deep, what do you call it? Like, I don't know, tray bake, like really big one. And what I do is I just, when if I need to make a really big batch up, I get all the ingredients. I use a mixer because I'm lazy, mixes it all up, or a wooden bowl and a spoon, mix it all up. And if you're going to feed it raw, cook the veg first, just steam it up and put it in, mix it in. You put it in this great big tray bake and you can either use it and feed it raw and just portion it up and put it in, or you can cook it lightly in the oven if you're worried about transitioning. And, you know, because I always suggest, you know, going from kibble to cooked, then move on to lightly cooked to raw. I think it's much better for the gut and cats seem to accept it better. So, you know, you've got a big tray like that, it's easy. And try not to make everything mush. So if your cat doesn't like veg and you want to really sort of, you know, make it really fine, that's fine. But perhaps if you're using two different meats, so if it has beef and it has turkey, use the turkey ground and the beef cubed so that they're getting a chance to have a bit of a chew. So you've got these lovely portions that you get out and they last you for weeks. And it is so easy. I can't tell you the amount of people that have used it and said, that was easy. I didn't realize. Just mix it all in, put it in and get done. Job done.
Yeah, I remember when we made the I think it was the first recipe we made from you, and we have it recorded on YouTube, and it's kind of funny because Adrian is disgusted by like, liver and things like that. Liver. And I think it's so much fun. But I remember being like, okay, so she says put it in a bowl, and we were making some others. We have some other recipes on there too that were requiring some type of like grinder or, you know, something else that we burnt up two of our,
we broke a couple things
of our blenders. Yeah. But with yours, it was just like chop it up, mix it in a bowl with a wooden spoon, and then yeah. put it in a wooden bowl. And we yeah. did it. And our cats loved it. And we were yeah. like, because all the other recipes, if you guys see, the link is in the description here for several different recipes and different ways that you can go about feeding fresh at home on a budget. And every recipe before Emma's, and you will see them, our cats just didn't like them. So we didn't want to waste anything. So we would have to mix it in with some wet food or whatever it was. Yeah. They were eating a little bit at a time so that they were still getting it and we weren't wasting it.
Yeah.
But when it came to your recipes, it was, they loved it.
Good. Good. That's made my heart sing. I love that. You know, cats like strong flavors, and we sometimes forget that they actually, you know, fish, a lot of cats like fish. It's strong. It's not for the faint hearted, you know, so let's give them a bit of flavor. If it says ginger, a little, you know, quarter of a teaspoon of ginger or something, don't be afraid of it. Just try it. We can't always make the decisions. It's like, you know, making a decision and say they won't like it, they won't eat it. Well, that's, you've already set up a problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let them have it and just have a go and see. And you've got to try it 5 times before you say they don't like it. Each ingredient or whatever, give them a chance. We can't just say, oh, they didn't eat it and that's fine. Give it a chance. Have a go. You know,
like from a master formulator point of view, I think the fear part of it, like you mentioned mm-hmm. onions mm-hmm. and peas. And what was the other one? Sweet corn?
Sweet corn. Let's stay away from any onion family. Let's stay away from. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's basically it. When it comes to cats, can we try carrots? Can we try cucumbers?
Yeah. Cooked carrots. Because they're better for them if they're cooked. Fermented yes. vegetables. I can't remember how many years, but I've been using wild fermentation for cats and dogs for a very long time. And any of my fermentation recipes are not human recipes changed in, you know, used for cats or dogs. They are written for them, so especially for them. So I use a lot of lime juice to ferment, and you'd be really surprised what it makes, a really smooth ferment. And the cats, my cats, I had two Bengals, crazy little things, but they really liked a tangy ferment of a little bit. And it's really odd when you see them eat it, you think no, and they do, they loved it.
That's great, especially since it has citrus in it.
Yeah. Yeah, lime, yeah. So a little bit of lime. So it was fine, and that's doing all the cooking, and then it ferments, and then there's no lime left in it really, and it's just like a tangy, and you know, you can use the vegetables young or old, and it's, I mean, I won't get into fermentation, but it's so easy. You would not believe how easy it is to get something, a bit of cabbage, squish it up, put it in. You don't have to use salt. You can just use lime, make sure it's, you know, breathing, put the lid on, done. Leave it in the fridge if you're worried. And it's probably a step too far for most people, but it's really, you know, if you've got like the end of some veggies and you know that knobbly bit that you're not eating, slice it up really thin, put it in a jar, feed it. You don't need to waste. The outside of your cauliflower, do not waste this. Cats don't mind. They will like it.
And the longer it ferments, the more beneficial it actually becomes.
Yeah. Probiotics, yeah. More probiotics it's got in there. So it's really good for cats that have got really, really sensitive tummies. And you know the cats that that, you know, you feed them their dinner, you know, the cats that you feed and they have whiskers or whatever, something very loose with a gravy, and they eat their food and then they're, it comes straight back up. You know those cats, they really do benefit from fermented veggies in their diet, just a little bit. They really do. And it helps them stop the fast chuck up. So I would, if you are going to continue feeding that, not that anyone asked, feed them a little bit of their food, then mix in a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of fermented veggies, and then see how you go. And it usually slows it down. And obviously feed them on a board, spread the food out as far as possible. They're going to think you're trying to poison them for the first 3 weeks, but they will get over it, I promise.
I love this.
That's
so much.
The fast chuck up. I love your little phrases. One more thing about danger foods. That's just in the back of my head, because mm-hmm. I'm the first time. We have cats that love to steal our salad stuff.
Yeah.
And
Friday will still, like, she grabs my spinach. She grabs, whenever I'm chopping things celery. Up, she comes and grabs it. Celery. Yeah.
Leafy green,
yeah,
broccoli, all of that. And she came up while you cut an avocado just sitting there. She came up and was licking it. And I freaked out. Yeah. I had just seen something on the interwebs that avocado is toxic.
Yeah. So that's true to a certain extent. So avocado flesh is not toxic. I can confirm avocado flesh is not toxic. However, there are some studies to say that the pit and the skin and the leaves could be.
Yes.
But I've never seen a cat chowing down on the skin. I've never seen a cat chowing down on the pit.
She was licking the good stuff.
Yeah.
She was licking the
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just get, yeah. And it is such a, avocado is such a texture, heavenly, transporting flavor and texture, and it just buzzes everything. And I think for a cat to be able to experience that is wonderful. Imagine going through your life as a cat and never ever having experienced a little bit of avocado and deciding whether you even like it or not.
Oh yeah, everybody, you got to give your cat some avocado. Okay, go
try
do
it
that.
Try yeah. it, you know, they yeah. tell you if they don't like it, you're gonna know.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about another thing, because there is also a big myth, and we hear it all the time, that garlic is toxic.
And you had just
what
mentioned
say
garlic.
You?
Yeah. Well, my my kimchi recipe is a wild fermentation. Again, that does have, I leave the garlic whole in it so that if your animals don't like it, you can, I say, oik it out later on. And, you know, you can eat it. But yeah, garlic, that a cat would have to really eat probably about 6 pounds of it to really, you know, become ill. I've not seen a cat, as far as I know, my long history of cat loving, seen a cat chowing down on that much. So you're all right, you know. Just, I do prefer it to be garlic to be cooked a little bit before cats get it. So I mince it, you know, use it in a pestle and mortar, and then, you know, maybe just cook it a little bit in some water or something. Just de-garlics it a little bit. And they tend to do better with it. So, yes, yeah, it's good. And they love it. And why not give them a chance to experience flavor, you know?
I love so much that you have been such an incredible formulator for these type of companies all over the globe, helping to improve the quality and ingredients in pet food. And yet you have such a heart for the enrichment
aspect
yeah. of what this is for our.
I do drive the companies mad whenever I work with them. I say, have you thought about doing this? Because that's not, I don't think a cat would eat that. I don't think a dog would like that. And they're like, oh, really? Why did we hire her again? I can't remember. But, you know, that's what I want. I want all the animals in the world to experience, to have an eating experience, even if it's the smallest teaspoon. Let them have this, and just let go of the fear of you're going to poison your cat and it's going to die and you're going to do this and do that. That's just us. You know, we're just becoming so scared, and we've been brainwashed to the hill. I mean, imagine if, you know, we all of a sudden thought that breastfeeding babies was poisonous. It's just like, if it goes in my head, I think, no, it's still a thing. You can still feed a child, you know, if a mother can and wants to, but, you know, it's a thing. You still can do that. Whereas we're so petrified when we get these little tiny kittens or older cats from rescues and things like that. We're like, oh, we better keep its food the same, better keep it on the same chicken forever. And that's only because they've never been able to throw up the chicken, you know. And also animals do sometimes like to purge, and we don't give them the opportunity. So something in their tummy could really be irritating them. And we control their food so much that they never get the chance to have a munch on something that helps them to actually purge and throw up. Yeah. And or experience that level of satiety where they're so satiated that they are just, they've had the, you know, the big Sunday, you know, relaxing dinner, and they've eaten a little bit too much. But, you know, so that's really important to me, that you're not feeding them the same thing, same amount every single day. So if your cat did a lot and played a lot, then perhaps they could eat a little bit more that day. But if they didn't do so much, and you know they've been loafing around and not doing anything all day, which is Sorry, my little dog snoring. Sorry. Perhaps they should have a little bit less that day. So if you look at the calories or the amount that you feel your cat should have that week, and that's right for them, they don't have to have exactly, you know, so many grams or ounces that day, every single day. We don't eat like that. And I don't think cats should either, because it's a natural way to eat the same amount every day.
Yeah, and the same thing every, I have a frog in my throat, and the same thing every day, you know, like for every meal. It's Annie's about to jump in the Christmas tree.
Gonna jump on your head. It's soul like destroying.
We just had Thanksgiving here in the States, and it's always just a huge meal, and there's so many leftovers, and leftovers are always fun for me. A day. And then it was, I mean, literally, and I told Adrian, I was like, this makes me think about our cats. And I think we need to incorporate this somehow to our community to let them know that feeding them the same thing every meal, every day is not good. It's not good for them. The science shows that eating the same thing is really not good for the microbiome, right? So we need to diversify the microbiome, which means feeding different things. But also, what do our cats think when we're feeding them the same thing every day? I was like, throw all of that stuff away. I cannot eat another bite of Thanksgiving food. No,
you don't want to see it. Go away. Leave me alone. But I think that when you've got a cat that's just, they get their food and I just think they're in their head, they've gone, if they're doing it all the time, that's not, oh, wow, this is so good. I love my food. This is I've got to get through it. And I would eat like that even if it was my favorite meal, but I was fed it for a whole year, I would eat like that. Because what's happening is that food's become just fuel.
Yeah.
That's it. I just need that to survive and I'm off. There's no, you know, serotonin being released or dopamine. That wasn't exciting. And I need more than that, you know, and I think that's really important to point out. We do look at the microbiome. It's very buzzy at the moment, but the happy hormones, and I'm always going on about this, that are being released as an animal is eating something they love, including us. You know it yourself. You get there and you're like, oh, this is so good. Oh, this is good. Why do my cats not deserve this? Just once, twice, three times in their life, every day, great. But, you know, we can't all do that. But, you know, a couple of times a month, do it. You know, just do it.
I love this so much. Okay, so I want to touch on one more thing. Mm-hmm. I know your time is valuable. And so we're going to have to wrap it up quickly.
And you're over in the UK. So
yeah, it's like,
thank you for making
really, that's right. Really, really late for you. But prey model diet.
Yes.
So we do have some recipes in the description for prey model. Yes. There are a lot of people that like to feed a prey model diet.
Yeah.
We have been informed and not by you. So I'd like to know your insight on this, but we have been informed that prey model is great from here. Kind of like you were talking about for everything else here and there, we can do this here and there, but on a steady basis all the time, there are other nutrients that are needed or vitamins or supplements and things like that. Is that your experience as well, or is prey model fine?
And for anyone that doesn't know what a prey model raw diet is, can you explain real quick?
Right. So a prey model diet is feeding all parts of the animal without vegetables often. I would say mainly. And so if you were feeding, I don't know, a duck, you would want to feed all parts of the duck. So we're talking, you know, the liver, the kidney, the tongue, the brain, everything you can feed in different amounts every day. So, and the issue is, and I'm sure Rodney will talk about this as well. The issue is that the animals that are feeding on the land, upon the land these days, are fed often things like soy and corn, and they don't have the amount of omega-3 from being grass fed and all these things. And the soil is depleted in nutrients and things. So perhaps prey model diet was a good idea back in the day, but I think now it would be lacking. Now, if you are feeding a prey model diet, again, I feel like it is a bit of a spray and pray approach to feeding. It's, oh, I got a really good, you know, bit of deer this week, and I got this and I got that. And you're putting all sorts of things together, mainly meat, and organs and bone. And you're saying, that is everything that an animal needs. Now, I work with vets. I train vets how to formulate therapeutic diets. And if they have a dog in the ER or a cat in the ER, or whatever, they will need a specific diet. So we can't just say, oh, I think there's enough selenium in there. Oh, I think there's enough iron in there today, vitamin D. So we have to produce two FEDIAF guidelines normally, or AFCO. We will look at the guidelines. We'll make sure they're getting everything they need in there. And those cats in the ER being tube fed will get everything they need. Now, we're not talking about such an extreme, but if you think about it over time, if you're lacking certain nutrients, then eventually there will be problems. And right. That's my worry. You're not nutrient testing that food that comes to you. So forget about FEDIAF and AFCO. Do you actually know what the nutritional values are of that food? No, you don't. We don't know what it is of our food, but we have a lot more regulations and guidelines going on for us to look at. We have every packet you pick up, it's got something telling us about calories or something. It's right. been tested. But that's my worry. I think up until a cat from the age of 3 to 5, I think it would probably be okay, but then you'd start getting problems. So why risk it? I think it's great and I don't want to upset anyone, but I do think there needs to be, you know, fiber is really, really important in a cat's diet and it's really lacking. And feeding a little bit of fur can be either a choking hazard. And also it can cause blockages. It can be really small and you can give it to them, but it's not necessarily the best idea.
So okay.
I think back to the enrichment part of this, which I really didn't even consider when we were so excited to talk to you about this DIY thing, the enrichment mm-hmm. part of it and the variety. I think for us at first, I kind of looked at, you know, whether it's a pre-model raw, whether it's a pre-made commercial, whether it's yeah. one recipe that I know how to make, feeding only that forever, being like, okay, now this is what I'm going to do because it's fully balanced. I think, you know, it's like that. I think it's Troy with Fetching Foods. It calls it the Swiss cheese effect. You know, when you only do one thing, you're going to find some holes.
You stack, you have a cube of Swiss cheese, right? And the hole goes mm-hmm. all the way through. But if you slice it up and move it yeah. around,
some variety,
right, then it closes those holes, which is, you know, yeah. basically the gut, right? So we're making a healthier gut by providing more variety. And I think pre-model is great, just maybe not all the time. And then adding it, you know, the way that you're explaining this right now is so, I feel like, digestible for us as humans. And it's easy. That was good, right?
I like your style. That was good. Yeah. Yeah.
It's something that we can hold on to, that we can do. And that even us, you know, we've been feeding raw for almost 7 years now. And you know, it tends to be like, oh, okay, we'll add this in and add that in, but we don't necessarily add in a ton of variety and we don't add in enough of the chewing factor a lot of times. And there's so many yeah. little things that,
or well, we are experiencing every day ourselves different eating experiences. We may have a lemon, it's tart, or we're having something too salty, or I fancy, you know, some chips, or, you know, we are able to go and do that. And, you know, you can say, oh, well, a cat doesn't really need that, hasn't got the, you know, the flavor receptors and all these things and taste buds and all this, but they smell. And it goes up to the vomeronasal passage and they smell their food. And they, you know, this is why I always say, you know, probably heard me talk about it before, when you got fussy cats or a cat, I don't believe there's really fussy cats, but that cat that just will not eat that food. As soon as you put it into anything like this, it's like a glass of red wine. You put it in and you want to smell the smells of the red wine. You're capturing it. You're shushing it around to smell that. If you do that to the cat's going to go, whoa, I don't want to eat that. Lay it out, let it sit for a minute, you know, let it, you know, do its thing, let the smells come up and they think, oh, is that for me? Oh, you know, we can't just expect a cat to be opened up out of a packet, you know, the food, and then plonk it on there. Yeah, I'll eat it, because all you're doing is I'll eat it because I'm supposed to eat. That's not actually how they eat. If you look at cats in the wild, they're not necessarily doing that. They're stalking and they're releasing the dopamine, and then, you know, the gut's getting into action. It's starting, it's thinking, right, I'm going to start digesting now. It's all happening. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to happen if you just go like, plonk, there you go, eat your food. And we wonder why they're sort of like, they didn't eat much. And then we leave it down and then we wonder why they're not eating it. So,
yeah,
you know, that's my sort of theory on it. I think we need to, you know, let them have more of an eating experience all round. And I think it helps with so many things. And for us, what fun.
What yeah. fun
to watch yeah. them picking it and choosing it. Ooh, they didn't eat that, didn't want that. Ooh, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's a really good point, I think, when it comes to feeding our cats, is that we, you know, we get to listen to our bodies. I get to say, my body cannot stand another bite of meat. I need vegetables. That is what yeah. my body wants right now. But our cats can't tell us that. Our cats can't say, hey, my body needs this or my body needs that.
I think they are telling us. I think they are telling us. We're just not hearing it.
The truth.
I think they are telling us, and they're going, you know, all this winding round you, and it's they want to be fed and all this. And then perhaps they're saying to us, please don't give me that whiskers again today. Not today. I'll have it tomorrow. But could I just have, you know, that lovely roast chicken that you had earlier? Could I have a bit of that? And we're so fearful of, oh, I'm going to muck up my cat's life, or I'm going to kill it, or I'm going to poison it, or I'm going to do something. It's like, no, just try it. It's very rare you're going to make it, unless you know that your cat has a medical issue and it can't have too much fats and it can't have this. That's a different thing. But on the whole, generally, we've got to give it a go, and we've got to start listening, because I don't think we are. I yeah. really don't think we are, because it's time. It's time to listen. It's time to just give it a go.
I'm
going to be in there and get down there.
One more thing, real quick, because yeah, I just hit the top, and I know that we got to let you go. But
yeah, go on.
I think that this is a question that we get all the time. When you talked about their cat's taste receptors, and you mentioned, you know, cats don't need this, they don't have that, they don't have sweet taste buds. And yeah. so many people are like, my cat goes crazy for ice cream, my cat goes crazy for this or that. And you mentioned at the beginning, talking about giving our cats a little bit of vegetables, putting a little butter on it. And we always share with people, it's not that your cat is going crazy for strawberry ice cream. They're attracted to the fats in that, the cream, the,
yeah.
So I think, can you speak to that a little bit about, you know, not everything in our freezer, you know, you're not going to put down a scoop of ice cream for your cat.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not a good idea. Yeah. So I don't think it's a good idea to pop down a scoop of ice cream for your cat. It may be looking to you like it likes something sweet. It likes, you know, sugar, and it likes creamy things. And they're after some natural fresh fats. So you'd be better off, if you could, if budget allowed, to find somewhere where you can get some really lovely, you know, goat's milk or something that they can have that's, you know, got some really healthy fats in it for them. And they're probably after an animal fat as well, rather than a vegetable fat, you know, something like avocado or coconut oil. They're craving that. And that's what they're telling you. They're not wanting the sugar. I can assure you that. So it's best to find them something, you know, if you can get hold of raw milk. If you're lucky enough to be able to even get that, that would be such a better option, or some grass-fed butter. Don't be afraid of ghee and butter and things like that. A little bit of it, you know, animals use fats for energy. It's not a bad thing. But I promise you, they're not after the sweets and the sugar. Definitely not.
And again, with the let's listen to what our cats are telling us. I didn't really think that was going to be such the enrichment aspect of it, the listening to our cats.
Mm.
Letting them tell us what it is that they love. We do love giving them variety and seeing who likes what. And it is fascinating. Like you said, give them a minute, put it down on a platter, see what they can do. Sometimes it's new and they'll check it out and then they'll come back and be like, oh, is that for me?
I do like that. Yeah.
I think sometimes we're just too, we live in a really fast world. And we are all a little bit, I'm guilty of it. We all do it. It's like, oh, have you finished yet? Have you eaten yet? What are you doing? You know, it's like, oh, there's something wrong with them. They haven't pooped today. It's like, they don't have to poop every day sometimes. It's okay.
Yes. That's a little secret too, for cats that are fed a fresh diet. Oftentimes, you know, it's if you look it up on the interwebs, it'll say at least once every 24 hours, sometimes 2 or 3 days with cats because it's more bioavailable nutrient dense. Their bodies are using so much more.
Yeah, so their bodies are actually using every bit of the food versus having a lot of waste in
We just panic, don't we? We just panic. It's like, oh, they haven't done this, haven't do that. You should only be, your poop should not anybody's poop, should always look exactly the same. If you're eating the same amount day in, day out, you're looking for that. It should be different colors, smell different, look different, different shapes. And then you know that cat is getting a proper eating experience. You've done your job.
I love you, Emma, so much. This has been so informative, so enriching, and so inspiring to I know so many, but us included, to really give our cats more of an enrichment diet and to spread it out more and give them more options for eating. And
for you too, get those eating experiences in. Try something new next week. Try something you've never eaten before. Try it.
Anything top of your mind that we didn't cover today? And for those who are here with us listening or listening later that are now obsessed with you and your wealth of knowledge, anything we didn't cover today that's on top of mind, and where can people find you?
Something I really think is important is, and I can't say this enough, forget about percentages.
Yes.
Forget about it. Forget about it. The only percentages you need to know about is when you're following a recipe from someone who is an experienced formulator and they're saying your pet is not well and you need to feed exactly this amount. Now, if you're following a recipe and it says to add this and that in, you then speak to the formulator if you can't get hold of it and see if there is a swap. But remember, you cannot follow a recipe and just change the protein and think it's still going to be balanced. It doesn't work like that. It's very complex, especially for cats. So that's something I think is really important. Where can they find me? My website is thenaturalcaninekitchen.com. And on Facebook, I have The Natural Canine Kitchen and I have The Natural Feline Kitchen on there. So, and I'm on TikTok and
everywhere.
Everywhere. All the places. YouTube, of course. Yeah, all the places.
Yes. Yes. And links are all in the description to find Emma. We will be, there are also quite a few recipes, links to the recipes in the description, and we'll be working more going forward to create more recipes for those of you guys. Just let us know if you are interested in making your cat's food at home and you really need more recipes, let us know, because Emma is so kind. She is ready to create some more balanced recipes for your kitties. So thank you so much for joining
us. So grateful.
We will be live tomorrow night with Dr. Kitty Woodley to discuss all of those picky kitties, all of those fussy kitties. We're going to go step by step on how to transition your cat. I know you've already given us so many tips, and we're going to reiterate those again tomorrow.
No, we've all got different ideas, haven't we? It's good. Yes.
But different step-by-step guide on how to get your cat from a kibble diet all the way to a fresh food diet. We'll give you all the tips and tricks that that we have available and that Dr. Kitty Woodley has available. Thank you again so much for joining us and for shining as bright as you do.
Thank you.